Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fashion month is in full swing, but as much as we'd like to go nuts on the shopping, our bank managers have killed that buzz. Ugh, bank managers. So we've got a treat in store for you and for us and for everybody. Set your alarms for midday on Sunday, October 1st for the Glamour Flash Sale. That's 12 hours of amazing discounts from fabulous beauty and fashion brands all on glamour.com. Some of our favorites: Pixie, Storm, Vestiaire Collective, Lynx of London, Maids to Measure, Own the Look, Perfectil. But there is so much going on and we can't wait to share it with you. So head to glamour.com, select Flash Sale from the drop-down menu for a sneak preview and put October 1st in your diary now. Hello everybody and welcome to another episode of Glamour Hey It's Okay, where now we have had some phenomenal guests on Hey It's Okay of the year, as you know. But we've actually got an actual literal legend in the house today. It's Mr. John Legend.
Hello.
Hi. Joined today by myself, Joe Elvin, Editor-in-Chief of Glamour, and James Williams, Deputy Editor of Glamour.
Yes, you had to think about that for a second.
Pod Covered Stud is what I wanted to say. That's his nickname.
No. I've got some, you know, some stiff...
Pod Covered Stud?
Yeah. I think it's a joke, clearly, John. And you'll give me some serious competition today.
That's a good name.
Yeah. Speaking of stud, I saw you on stage last night. You've got some moves.
You were there last night?
I've seen lots of footage of what's actually my worst nightmare. Some girl, like, really, really happy that you pulled her on stage to dance.
Your nightmare would to be pulled up?
I would rather die.
A lot of people don't know what they're getting into, and they get a little bit shy when they get up
but
there.
But aren't you nervous about someone just standing there and, like, bursting into tears? Or...
Well, my only worry is that they will get too nervous and they won't move at all.
Yeah.
Yes, but otherwise it's usually pretty fun.
Well, because I think you're either a person who loves audience participation in life, or you literally get paralysed with fear, and I'm with you, Joe. Like, literally, I once had to ask to swap seats at a concert because I was too close.
Yes.
I was literally front row, and I found it too intimidating, so I actually swapped with people 4 rows behind me.
Yeah, I like to be a little further back, too. The sound's better further back, too. That's a good secret to know.
But at least you can dance. I can't.
I can dance okay, you know. I'm not a great dancer.
The review I read this morning referred to you as a sex genie.
Oh, that was in The Guardian. I saw that, yeah.
Sex genie.
I thought you might have. I knew you would read it.
My wife, you know, we'll talk about that later.
You've got to add that to your Instagram, you know, bio now, John. Sex genie. Sex genie.
I think what it meant was that I am helping to encourage all the couples out there to procreate. after the show.
You need to come up with a nickname. You know when 50 Shades of Grey became a thing?
Uh-huh.
And the hypothesis was that loads of people were getting together and having babies after they'd read 50 Shades of Grey, and all those babies were called Greybies.
Oh, Greybies.
So you need one for you.
Ooh, Little Legends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Legends.
Speaking of, how is your beautiful, beautiful daughter?
Oh, she's doing well. She just got to London yesterday, and She'll be with me all week. I'm very excited about that.
It's very sort of top secret at the moment, but we worked with John in LA a few weeks ago for something super exciting that's coming up later. And I got to tell you, meeting Luna was on my bucket list.
She's ridiculously cute.
She's very cute and she's a lot of fun right now. She's at a good age where she's very social, even though she can't speak in English sentences. She can just speak in babble sentences right now, but she's very engaging and engaged with the rest of the world, so it's fun.
Yeah. And so what are your hopes for her? Have you got any sort of idea of what you want her to be? Or?
Well, I keep nudging her toward the piano, but I'm not trying to be forceful about it. I just, you know, I just have a big one right in the living room, and, you know, she plays it with me sometimes.
Oh, we love her. And how's the tour going?
It's going so well. Yeah. We've done 3 cities in the UK so far. And they've been wonderful. We play London tomorrow night.
Exciting.
And that's going to be really fun. And we've got quite a few cities. This is the most I've done in the UK on any tour before.
Mm-hmm. How do you find the UK audience?
They're really good.
Yeah.
Really good, yeah.
Are they, how do we compare with the crazies of the rest of the world? I mean, where are the craziest crowds, would you say?
Crazy. I mean, the most. I think the most energetic crowds I have are in South Africa.
Oh, really?
Yes. South Korea is actually... very, very, very like loud and fun and engaged. But the UK crowds are right up there, though. They're very fun.
Coming from Australia, I think it's you're just grateful in the Southern Hemisphere when people come to see
you. Yeah, I think so.
It's a long way away, to be fair. Yeah. Like,
That's true.
But you've been coming to the UK now on and off a long time. Do you feel pretty much at home here now?
I feel very much at home. I've been to London so many times. The first time I came was with Kanye. We were with Dame Dash, and Kanye was signed to Rockefeller, and he was bringing Kanye over here as a brand new artist on his label, and I was Kanye's sidekick. I would sing all the hooks when Kanye was rapping, and that was the first time I came here.
What's it like being
that
Kanye's
was back
sidekick?
In 2000. That was in 2003 or 2004.
Is it fun being Kanye's sidekick?
It was fun.
I imagine that'd be quite demanding.
It was fun. It was like. We were all just excited to be there, you know. He was a brand new artist, I was brand new. And
did he ever actually shout at anybody, bring me my damn croissant?
No. Oh. You know, he evolved. he was still, you know, young and happy to be there.
When he could eat croissants, you know, you get on in life, you can't eat so many, can
He's developed more of a taste for croissants now.
Yeah. Have you spoken to him lately?
Last time I saw, it's been a couple months now.
Because I was thinking of you the other day. We've got a story in the December issue of Glamour.
It's Christmas in Glamour already.
Chris Jenner gave us an interview about her Christmas parties.
Yeah, I've been...
I know. You know. Yes. She told us all about, although she did, she mentioned the hot dog stand more than the sort of like she directed a hot dog stand. She did mention that more than you performing.
That sounds like Chrissy. Yeah. Chrissy's highlight would be the hot dog stand too.
I've never been around such lavishness.
Oh my God, we all read that feature when I want an invite next year. Can you get us an invite, John? We've got to get in.
I'll talk to Chris about it.
Come on. Go to the top dog and get
We have a really good Christmas party too.
Oh.
We had our first one last year.
A rival one.
It's not rival. It's on another day. We would never compete with Chris's party. Hers is on Christmas Eve, though.
I was going to say, take some beating.
Yeah, that's a competitive guest listing there.
Coming to an issue.
No, I said she comes to ours and we go to hers.
Nice.
Very nice. Now, I do want to know one thing. I hope you don't mind me asking this. Have you got any tips for how myself and the Glamour audience can be best friends with Chrissy?
Well... She it's makes like a lot of friends on Twitter.
Yeah, she does.
She does kind of own Twitter. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
She really is very engaged on Twitter, and she actually really likes interacting with people on Twitter. Yeah.
I've noticed that. Does she ever tweet something there, and you think, oh, babe, please don't.
She knows. She's very savvy, and she knows when she's stepping in it. And she voluntarily steps in it when she wants to.
I think that's why I like her, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
She's more fearless than most, I would say.
Yeah. I think she's very inspiring in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, John, are you ready to play Hey, It's Okay?
Okay, I'm ready to play.
here's what we do. It's almost like being at a glamour features meeting, mm-hmm. John. This is okay. The kind of stuff that we discuss. And
am I on the staff now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
For the next few minutes, you are.
It does not pay quite as well as being an international music star.
Oh, no.
You may have to cut back the budget.
I may have to sell the house.
Yeah. Yeah, if you could sell the house, that'd be great, actually, because then we could, yeah.
But not until we've been to the Christmas party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, so, John, is it okay to ignore your critics?
I think it's okay to pay attention to your critics.
Right.
Because sometimes it's constructive and can be helpful. I think everything in moderation, because if you let your critics get in your head too much, it can be paralyzing. But I think it's okay to listen to your critics because you can get some helpful, advice and constructive criticism from it.
Well, that's very magnanimous. But how do you draw the line? Where does the self-awareness begin and end for me? As I think, you know, what do I listen to and think, oh God, yeah, I really need to change something fundamental about myself, or oh, they know nothing. Where's the middle ground?
I feel like I can tell when a critic is coming from a place of knowledge and like honesty, and then I can tell when someone is just being snarky and just being a dick.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of critics do feel the need just to be critical for the sake of it, don't they?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is, you know, I think the entire business of cultural criticism is kind of waning, which is not good, I think, for society. But I think for critics to get paid attention to, they have to write something that's a real takedown. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's hard for them to get noticed. And so I think in this landscape where everybody's online writing and everybody's blogging and everybody's doing everything, it's harder to get noticed. And I think some critics have to... They feel like they have to be extremely snarky or really take down
I guess social
someone
media,
big.
Yeah, has made everyone a critic.
Yeah,
you know, everyone
exactly.
Has a platform.
So I think it's kind of almost a lost art, which is a shame because I think cultural criticism is important.
I think that's true, though, because I think sometimes if I notice, particularly on something like a women's magazine, if we write something nice about something, it tends to be perceived as weaker journalism.
Yeah.
Just through being positive.
Yeah.
And I find that quite... sad.
Yeah, and so I think in some ways there's a premium on, you know, being snarky, mm-hmm. a little shock value. But I think there's still a lot of critics that are really honest and write from a place of really loving art and loving music and just wanting to, you know, appreciate it in an honest way.
And what's the process for you? What's the mental process if something has really, you feel a bit kicked in the guts by something, if something's really wounded you? Does that ever happen?
Well, I've been upset by a critic before, and if they just write one thing bad about me, then I think, oh, maybe like they were just being honest and they didn't like it. But then there was a particular critic that kept writing really like just nasty things about me, and they were dishonest too, because he would say things about my show that just weren't true. Like I was there, I know what happened, and it was like he was trying to make it fit his own narrative. And so I just started to ignore it.
But what is it? It's so true. Somebody once said to me, you know, you'll hear 100 lovely things said mm-hmm. about you, and it takes one bad thing, and you will replay the bad thing over and over and over in your head. You'll ignore and discredit all the lovely things and focus and zone in on that one negative thing. And I think that's where this balance comes in.
I'm more of a glass half full kind of person just by disposition, so I still, like, pay attention to the good ones too. But the bad ones, they sting a little bit.
Have you, and is it something that's got easier as you've gotten older and you're further on your career, or did you struggle earlier on with the criticism?
Well, I think most importantly, the fans are the most important judge of whether or not the show was good or the album is good. If they love it, then I'm happy. Mm.
But also, we were saying earlier as well, at what point as well did being popular mean you have to be criticised? You know, sometimes people feel the need to tear down... things,
sure.
You know?
When you're new, critics usually don't tear you down because there's a premium on kind of discovering something new, and a critic will kind of feel cool that they get to introduce something new to the fans. Mm. But once you're already big, then that coolness of introducing you is gone, And so the only thing left is to take you down.
But I think you said the right thing. It's about trying to find, because you know, you can't dismiss, I think, critics totally. But
yeah,
I think, you know,
I still think there are a lot of critics that really write from an honest place, and they really take it seriously.
I've met you a couple of times, and I've formed a huge worldview of who you are. But it's, I can't imagine you ever getting angry about anything.
I am very slow to anger. I am almost frustratingly so to people that are friends with me and my wife.
Publicist is nodding in the corner.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's like they almost want to see me get madder, but I just don't get very upset.
You're too chill.
Are you like my husband in that I know I've really, really crossed the line if he goes incredibly silent, if he actually stops engaging? That's when I know.
Yeah, I just don't get very mad. I just don't, honestly. And it's not like I'm like forcing it down or suppressing it. That's just, I'm just not that angry.
You need to bottle that in some sort of medication. You could make a fortune.
I don't know, that's the gauntlet, right? Let's see if we can make John Legend angry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Is it okay, John Legend, to follow your heart rather than your head?
Well, the distinction between your heart and your head is very unscientific, obviously, because it's all in your head, pretty much. Even the thing we call our heart is in our head.
That is probably, I was not expecting such an unromantic take on it from the sex genie.
But that being said, heart is obviously something we use kind of metaphorically to represent, you know, passion. And I think it's important to follow your passion.
But that's what I was going to say. You must have had people in your youth who, you know, thought it wasn't very sensible at all to be embarking
exactly
on this artistic career.
I've literally followed my passion.
Yeah.
And I kind of like had the safety net of going to a nice university and getting a good job out of university and all that. But at the end of the day, I followed my passion. I followed my heart.
And look what happened.
Even though it's just an organ that, you know, pumps blood.
Oh, man. Ruin it.
I know. Getting very scientific. It's a biological fact. I mean, I guess, I think ultimately what's lying here is, you know, do you, when it comes down to decisions, do you ultimately, are you more emotional or are you more level-headed when it comes to
Well, I think, especially as an artist, you have to follow your heart because I think it's important you let your love and your passion and your taste guide you more so than the numbers or the, you know, or a bunch of business motivations. You have to be motivated by you loving the art that you're creating and wanting it to be as beautiful as possible.
Do you have any advice, though? Because for every John Legend, there's probably thousands of people for whom it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
How, at what stage do you have that conversation with yourself? At what stage do you sort of say, listen, this is, I need to do something else. This is not going to...
Well, I think you start to get a sense from other people's reactions to your music. And like, you know, you can tell if and I think now especially with streaming and other other ways of really measuring if people like what you're doing. You know, you can see how many people are listening to you on SoundCloud, and if they keep coming back to listen again, you can tell if people show up to your shows. You know, after a while, if no one's listening and no one's giving you great feedback and no one's coming to your shows, maybe you've picked the wrong profession.
Mm. Have you ever had a dream that you've had to let go of, though? Has that ever been something that you've experienced?
To be a great athlete, I have to let go of that dream when I was about 8 years old.
What was the event? What do you want? What do you imagine yourself doing?
I could just tell I wasn't as good as my, you know, compatriots. And
I see, that's interesting. So some people wouldn't give up, though.
Well, I still do it for fun, but you know what? When you're really good at something, like singing, and you know when you're not so good, like, you know, sports.
But I guess that's a good thing about being a parent. I guess, I always imagine that would be quite hard. You know, how do you, if you can tell when your child is gifted in certain fields rather than
others? I think there's a couple things, because I think sometimes we over buy into the idea that someone's just good at something or they're just bad at something, because you really can get better at something too. Like, I don't like when people are like, well, I'm just bad at math. Like, you can get better at math.
Cooking.
People always say, I can't cook.
Yeah, I think you can learn to do things. It's just a matter of whether or not you put in the time to do it. And you have to make a decision whether it's worth your time too, because you can't be great at everything, and you have to decide whether or not it's worth investing your time into getting better. But you can get better at things.
What are you really bad at, John? Come on, tell us. What's the one
thing? I told you, sports.
But come on. You said you're fairly accomplished. But I mean, talk about cooking, for example. I mean, Chrissy's a great
I'm pretty
cook.
Good at cooking, actually.
Because Chrissy's obviously got a book coming out.
Yeah, Chrissy's the queen of the kitchen. But
You hold your own.
I am her sous chef. Ah. And I'm very helpful.
What's the signature dish?
Mine, fried chicken.
Oh. Very nice.
You need to do a bit of sports to run that off.
Yes. All of my signature dishes are very unhealthy.
This Christmas party is shaping up very nicely. John Legend, I know you're going to have an opinion on this. Is it okay to have a partner who is also your best friend?
Of course.
Well, there's been a lot of debate in the Glamour office about this recently.
Okay.
Some people feel that in our office, and I'm on your side, but a lot of people in the office feel like that's just the unsexiest thing, is to have a partner who is also your pal.
Well, you make pal sound so like
unsexy.
I have sex with my best friend. We really enjoy
She's
it.
She's a swell pal.
I think what some people think of, and I think, you know, you're very cautious, I think, some people are, of becoming that couple that does everything together. Their friends
right.
are all the same.
And we don't do everything together, but we are best friends, I think. And, like, we'll watch TV together, and we obviously are raising a child together.
You all seem to laugh a lot together.
Yeah, we
I think
laugh a
is
lot together.
Crucial.
We'll share articles we read and laugh, or, you know, be shocked or be intrigued by the article, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's different than friends that are platonic, because, I mean, like, she has girlfriends that she'll talk about other things with, but, you know, I think we're best friends, and I think we're also really romantic, too.
Yeah, and I think it's important to have, for that person in your life to be the one whose company you never tire of, and who you really want to be around, and you share all that common ground. I don't think that's unsexy, but some people do.
I do think it's nice to have little breaks from each other,
of course.
You know, I'm on the road a lot, so we have built-in breaks from each other, so when we see each other, it's very, like, we're excited to see each other.
Do you have a rule that you'll only go a certain length of time without seeing each other?
We have a unwritten rule. It's like, we try not to go more than a couple weeks away from each other, even on this European tour, we're trying to make that happen.
But I think I think it's about, because I sometimes have some of my friends who are couples. You know, if they broke up, it would be very awkward, because all of their friends are the same. They don't seem to have independent friendship groups.
Sure.
And I think that's what's buying into a lot of this argument, is that sometimes you become that couple that literally your world is the same.
So don't get divorced.
To be honest.
It's a good incentive.
It's still one of my favourite Gwyneth Paltrow quotes, when she's sort of asking her father, you know, how come you and mum, how did you manage to have this relationship? So he said, well, neither of us wanted to get divorced at the same time. I always love that.
Yeah, it's true.
And the thing is, you're always, they're probably every couple probably goes through moments when at least one person is like, is it worth it, you know? Mm. But from what I've seen of divorce, I think it's almost always worth trying to stick it out.
It's a ball ache.
Yeah.
Right?
It's costly.
Yeah.
Things get nasty.
Especially with kids.
Yeah.
I can't imagine us like splitting custody. And,
yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah.
Can't imagine.
Now, were you on stage last night or were you indeed in the hotel room with Chrissy watching Naked Attraction?
She was in London. I was in Nottingham finishing my show. And I got on the bus and was reading her Twitter and saw
we love the fact
what she was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, have you seen the show? Do you
I have not.
Oh, it's
quite
something.
But she showed me a clip that she took on her phone because she was so amazed by it.
Yeah.
It, it makes you really proud to be British when you see that going global.
You guys are really innovative when it comes to no, honestly, I think a lot of the world, rest of the world takes a lot of cues from Britain when it comes to reality programming.
God, do you feel proud of
that? I know. It's like, yeah. Yeah, Love Island. Love Island's been sold all around the world now.
Yeah, I mean, the ideas, they spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are trendsetters.
You've got your own reality show coming up, right? I don't think anyone's naked in it, though. Your rapping competition.
Oh, we have lots of shows. Yeah. I was like, which one? Yeah. Because we have a lot of shows in development. That one's in very, very early development. So we'll see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, John Legend, thank you so much for being an absolute legend and coming
to
the podcast. I hope the rest of the tour goes amazingly well.
Thank you very much.
Give that baby a squeeze for me.
I will.
And yeah.
I'm sorry she's not here.
Oh, we us too.
Absolutely gutted, but we'll overlook it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.